If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 224 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, you enjoying the little mini break here we got before the second half kicks off?
Yeah, so much for a break, considering the MLB draft and FYPD rankings and slotting guys into the prospect and dynasty rankings. It's been a good week, though. It's fun to do, and I'm hoping to see Noah Schultz tomorrow. There's today, as you're listening to that, Kannapolis has a three-game series in Columbia, and the pitchers are still TBD, and I have no clue how they're going to line up coming out of the All-Star break. So I've already got to be in Columbia for the day tomorrow for something. So I'm just hoping that Schultz goes, because nobody on Kannapolis is interesting otherwise. And honestly, Columbia is not interesting at all anymore other than Austin Charles. So
yeah,
I have no reason to go unless Noah Schultz pitches. So I'm looking forward to that, getting back to the ballpark and just this grind to full go, baby, because we're a couple months left in the season. So it's go time.
Now, how far away is Columbia from you?
It's about an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's, you know, a little less than what it takes to get, for me to get to New Hampshire. So Yeah, so at least you can, you know, maybe make the drive back up if he goes, you know, on Saturday or Sunday or something like that. Yeah, it's always hard to figure out what, even at the major league level, what the rotations are going to look like coming out of the break here. I'm hoping to get, next week we got New Hampshire coming here to Portland. Obviously, we got Blaze Jordan up here now, so get some live looks at him. I know you already have.
For a long time.
Yep. Sure have, but yeah, it'd be good to get back in the ballpark, and hopefully the weather is nice. It's very. I took a picture yesterday. It was like outside of my office. It was like half the sky was blue, half the sky was black. It was just like the weather is so hot and cold up here. But yeah, hopefully it's getting better. So getting to the ballpark hasn't been too terrible lately. But we are going to talk some dynasty buys in this episode as we enter the second half of the season. And, you know, the reason for the buy could be different. It could be buy low, could be buy high, you know, whatever the reason. These are some guys that we'd be looking to buy right now in dynasty leagues before their price either goes back up, continues to rise, or whatever. Before we get into all that, though, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show's at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty Prospect and FYPD rankings. Both of us just put out our updated FYPD rankings this week, so go check those out. And we updated prospect rankings with these guys included, Dynasty rankings, other daily write-ups and fun stuff to be had on there. So make sure to go check out both of those. We appreciate the support. Let's get right into it now. We're going to be talking, how many names we put on the outline here? I think 14 names today. Obviously, 7 from each of us will alternate back and forth. There's no real order to this. We just threw names on the sheet. It's not like pitchers first, then hitters, just random order. But Chris is kicking it off with one of the most exciting young shortstops in all of baseball.
So people may not think this is a great time to buy, but I think it's a great time to buy O'Neill Cruz, who's been out, obviously a freakish injury where he broke his leg on a play at the plate. Cruz was making major strides coming into this year. He made some changes in September and then ultimately was, I thought, ready to take off this year before the injury. He reeks of first-round talent to me. There is 40 home run potential, 20 stolen base upside, I think. So he could be a 40-20 guy with a respectable average in OBP. And I really think this is like the last time you can buy him before the cost just explodes. Because if he comes back and finishes the season really strong, and you're looking at probably a return in August, like early August type. So you've got a couple more weeks you can buy in on him. And we're talking just a crazy good athlete. Like, I don't need to go into much detail about how good O'Neill Cruz is, but I just really feel like that this is a player that I want to be buying everywhere right now. He's young. There's the upside there. And obviously, he's going to be back in a couple of weeks and just be ready to take off. There's few players that put up the kind of exit velocities and sprint speed that he does. And he's one of those. So obviously, just a 40 plate appearance sample this year. Not much of anything before he got hurt. But, Cruz has the highest exit velocity in StatCast history. I just really think that overall, this is somebody that I want to get in on right now if I can, before the cost ultimately just really takes off if he performs. And it's going to. Like, I don't know. You could probably get him for an asset outside the top 50 right now.
Yeah,
and I think so. He could be a top 20 guy by season's end. I firmly believe that.
Yep. No, absolutely. This is exactly the time when you go out and try to get an O'Neill Cruz, because the cost might never be this low again. As as you mentioned, there's first round fantasy upside here. 100% agree with that. So I would definitely echo going out and getting O'Neill Cruz. I'm going to stick here in the National League Central and go with C.S. Suzuki. You know, what made me think of putting Suzuki on here a handful of days back in my Discord through my Patreon. Someone asked me like, hey, what's going on with C.S. Suzuki? And, I started like, hey, let me dig in. I hadn't really looked at his profile in a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I don't know why the numbers are so pedestrian right now. I mean, he's at 298 plate appearances, only slashing 259, 342, 405. So not terrible, but kind of meh. 7 home runs and a steal. And again, those 298 plate appearances, but the metrics are all still pretty good. K rate's the exact same, basically, as last year, 24.5%. He's improved the walk rate up from 9.4 to 11.1%. Exit velocity is up 2.5 miles an hour from 89.6 to 92.1. Barrel rate is down a little bit, but still a pretty solid 9%. It was 11% last year. And, you know, plate discipline metrics are pretty good as well, even in most of which are better than last year. Zone contact's up 1%. Chase is down nearly 3 percentage points to 18.5%. Whiffs only at 21.2%. There's a lot of good in this profile here. And even as 80th percentile sprint speed, obviously he only has the one steal, but did have, how many did he have last year? Yeah, he had 9 last year in 111 games. So I wouldn't rule out him starting to run a little bit more, though he's been caught 5 out of 6 times this year, which is pretty odd, especially given the new base running rules that make things easier. But he's only 10 for 10 in his entire career. So maybe he's just not a good base runner. But I think that you're going to see Suzuki have a much better second half. You know, obviously there was, I think he was dealing with an injury earlier in the year. So maybe that affected him a little bit. And it's not like he has like a high ground ball rate or anything like that. Ground ball rate's at 44.7%. That's not terrible. I mean, maybe you want a little lower than that, but it's not like it's 55 to 60%. We see with some hitters that we talk about. But yeah, I think there's a lot of intriguing metrics here. And, you know, if you looked at this profile, and you wouldn't think that this is a guy that's having a kind of underwhelming season. So I think we're in for a nice little bounce back here from Suzuki moving forward. Still only 28 years old as well. So I think this would be a pretty good second half. So I'd go and buy Suzuki right now. Back over to Chris for a pitcher who was maybe considered, I don't know if I'd say the laughing stock of baseball, but a very polarizing name that's had a very down season so far.
Yeah, been quite a weird year for one Alek Manoah. Love the Suzuki pick, by the way. Big fan of that. I like Suzuki a lot. Yeah, Manoah had one of the fastest falls that I think I've ever seen. He went from, you know, being as steady as they got over the last two seasons. I mean, he posted a 2.60 ERA in 308 innings between 2021 and 2022. And then 6.36 ERA this year in 13 starts. He got sent down to the complex level to work on things. We just saw Roenzy Contreras get sent to the complex today to work on some things. The complex start, 11 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings. While he was working on some things there, it was still just, like you said, the laughing stock of Twitter. Alek Manoah was toast. So then he comes back, like he looks good. Then he started in Double A, looked good. Then he starts against Detroit, and he looked completely normal again. 6 innings, 1-run ball with 8 strikeouts and 0 walks. And maybe you think it's a fluke because he faced the Tigers, but I really believe that this is a good time to buy, even if he's just 80-75% of what he was in 2021, 2022, then he equates to be a great buy because if he's 75% of those numbers, you're still looking at a mid-3 type ERA. And he's never been I was never a big Manoah guy. Wasn't really in on him. Never have been. But at the cost now, like I actually might be, like knowing that Dynasty is just a game where you buy and sell. This is a time to buy, and maybe you missed the window, but I think people are still pretty skeptical after what we had seen over a pretty rough couple of months. And I think people are concerned that he's not going to get back to those levels, and he doesn't need to. Like I said, he doesn't need to be at those elite levels. So just looking, I'm curious if he changed anything. The pitch mix kind of stayed the same in that last start as it had been all season. Like the velocity, about the same. So I just think it was a loss of confidence at some point for Manoah, and he's gotten some of that back. And, you know, I fully expect that he will rebound again. I don't need him to be a ace. I just want him to be a solid, like, SP3 at this point if I buy him.
Yeah. So what I've been thinking with Manoah, which is pretty much right on the same lines what you're thinking, and if 75 to 80% of what he was, pretty much Jose Berríos.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You know, mid to upper 3s ERA and, you know, around a 22, 23, 24% K rate, which I think that's basically what Berríos is right now.
Yeah.
I think he could absolutely be here. And that's put you like in the top 50, you know, SP discussion, something like that. So Yeah, I do think I'm right there with you. I was probably one of the lowest in the industry on Manoah, even when he was going well and finishing third in the Cy Young. But yeah, and I even put him as one of my dynasty targets in my, you know, my midseason dynasty target series I'm doing over on my Patreon. I'm going division by division. And I was like, you know, the price has dropped to the point where it's a pretty good buying opportunity. So yeah, I definitely would be in as well if the price was right. I'll keep it in the AL East as well with another pitcher who we won't even see until next year. And that's Shane Boz. You know, obviously, you know, we've talked about Boz many, many times over the years on this podcast, interviewed him as well. And I'm still just as high now as I was, you know, a couple years ago on Shane Boz. Obviously, you're not going to see him until 2024 as he had Tommy John surgery last September, which will put him out the entirety of the 2023 season. But the stuff is just so good. It is hard to see, you know, it's always hard to kind of predict what we will see from a guy coming back from major surgery, whether it's shoulder, elbow, whatever, especially with elbow, obviously, with these pitchers. But the upside is so incredibly high. Where I still believe, you know, if he can, you know, if he comes back healthy and puts, you know, all this behind him and can be a, you know, guy that's healthy moving forward, could be a top 10 arm. I still think the upside is there. Everything clicks. He can stay healthy. There's top 10 starter potential here with Boz. You know, it's a dynamic three pitch mix. You know, both his breakers missed over 40% of bats last year in a limited sample size. And you know, same thing year before that. Both of the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022 for him, curveball, slider have whiff rates above 40%. You know, fastball of 96, 97. That's a very good pitch as well. And, you know, the improved command and control that he focused on and achieved during, you know, 2020 and 2021 periods that kind of vaulted him for being one of those, you know, talented but, you know, risky prospect arms to being a guy that we are ranking as, you know, one of the top few pitching prospects in baseball. Still only 24 years old, which is great. It feels like he's been around longer than that. It feels like he should be a few years older, but still only 24. He'll be 25 next year. Obviously in the Tampa Bay org, great talent. So yeah, I will take the buy low right now on Shane Boz all day.
Yeah, Shane was one of the ones I wrote in my article as a buy low. I think that he's a tremendous one to get in on now because I think there's ace stuff there. And you know, there was some chatter in the Discord today about him versus McClanahan, you know, in the future. And I think Boz could make that interesting, even though Right now, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's clearly McClanahan. I think Boz can make it pretty interesting. I believe.
I think the stuff is just as good.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, there's no question in my mind that Boz could get to those elite levels. So I like that pick a lot. Like I said, I'm buying him where I can. I got him pretty cheap in Highlander, which made me pretty happy there. So
yeah, made me jealous. So
well, I'm going over to your Red Sox and going to buy low on Trevor Story, who obviously has been out. Hasn't played, out of sight, out of mind. I think Story has like zero dynasty value at this point. And people are just kind of like, well, he can't perform outside of Coors Field. I mean, yeah. Is it going to be as good? The numbers aren't going to be as good as they were at Coors. Like, I don't think anybody is saying that. But Story still brings an interesting power and speed blend to the table here where I think he has some use. I really do believe that Trevor Story could be a 2020 guy over a full season still. I mean, last year we saw him go 16 and 13, and that was just over 94 games. So I think 2020 is completely realistic. The batting average may be 250, but I'm okay with that. Like at the cost, it's all about opportunity cost. It's all about buying cost. And with Story, here you go. The cost has tanked. I think I'd try to get in on him if I could. So I'd expect a nice little rebound, even though he's not in Coors Field. He wasn't healthy all last year, and now he's going to be back fully healthy, we assume. And I just really think this is a good buying opportunity on Story. Second year in Boston, getting comfortable. I mean, we see guys that get these big contracts often struggle in the first year, and you add on the fact that he was hurt. I don't know. I just think the year two is going to be so much better for Trevor Story. And one that I'm going to be scooping up a lot of places, 30 years old. Let's go. I'm in.
Does any team in baseball, Chris, have a bigger boomer bust middle infield than the Boston Red Sox with Trevor Story and maybe Mondesi if he ever comes back? Like, is there any like bigger, like, you know, range of outcomes for a middle infield pairing than that?
I don't think so.
Which we haven't even seen them together yet. Obviously, Story hasn't played this year, and Mondesi is just kind of MIA at this point.
Like, right.
I think the last thing I heard, a few weeks ago, he had some sort of setback, and he's not even doing baseball activities. I haven't looked at anything recently, but I'm like, not surprised there. But yeah, but with Story, obviously, this is a guy that's shown a good power speed limit for a long time, and yeah, like you said, even if the average isn't, you know, necessarily the greatest, you know, still has a, you know, good power speed limit to fall back on. So yeah, hopefully we see him back at some point, you know, this year. So I still like the player and want to see something out of him from my Red Sox, but I will stick with the Red Sox here and go with Tristan Casas, who is finally getting things going here over the last like month and a half or so, really has heated up. And we'll go back to, so see, since when was the threshold here that I was looking at earlier? Where was it? Yeah, so since the middle of June. So we're going from June 13th on. Again, really like started the season really slow after his game on June 12th, slashing 197, 317, 366. But since then, in, see, 73 player appearances. So he had a small sample size, but he's hitting 303 with a 370 OBP, 485 slug, 6 doubles, 2 home runs, 7 walks there. And he's still hitting the ball very hard. Like the quality of contact metrics are very good this year. 12.5% barrel rate, 91.5 mile an hour average exit velo, 47.5% hard hit rate. You know, his walk rate's 13.7%, top 7% of the league. Now he's starting to trim the strikeout rate a bit. So you look at the overall line, 225, 330, 398, 9 home runs and 291 plate appearances. And you know, you can use that to your advantage because obviously, as I mentioned, the approach is good. He has a better than league average chase rate, you know, slightly worse than league average whiff rate, but it's only 27.5%. That's not bad at all. The contact metrics are starting to come up here over as the season progresses. And I think we're in for a pretty big second half. Looks like he's finally he looks comfortable at the plate. It's just as a fan watching these games, he looks like he's finally kind of just getting comfortable at the plate. And with his approach and quality of contact, I think you're going to see a really big second half from him and finally have him turn into the four category producer that we've been waiting for. So this is probably the lowest you'll see his price moving forwards. I still believe he's going to be I can see him being like a top 50 dynasty player, a guy that can hit you 30 plus home runs, hit for, you know, a solid average, you know, be even better in OBP formats and, you know, driving a ton of runs and score a decent amount of runs as well. So I think top 50 is still in play here with Casas, and he's a great buy right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really like that pick. He's going to be one that I think does take just a bit longer to come around, and that's okay. Like, I still believe in the bat. I believe in the power, and then believe it'll play. So let's go a third Red Sox in a row. That is Brian Bello, who we've both loved for a long time. I think since I first saw him in Greenville and saw that devastating changeup that he had, he really just popped and caught my eye. And I think it's been underrated how good he's pitched this year. I mean, he has a 3.04 ERA right now in 80 innings, and he's just been steadily getting better. And that's including a first start of the year in which he allowed 5 earned over 2 2/3. And then it was 3 earned over 4 2/3 in his second start. So you take out those 2 starts, and that bumps him down to a 2.35 ERA over 72 2/3 innings. Really, really good stuff there from Bello. The strikeouts aren't there. It's kind of interesting because when you look at his arsenal and when you look at the pitch mix, you honestly would expect that he would get more whiffs. Other than the fact that he just throws the fastball so much, his sinker at 35%, his four seam at 23%. Then it's the changeup, which is at 22% usage, but the changeup has a 44% whiff rate on it. I really want to see him throw the slider more. The slider is a nasty pitch. We haven't seen it to the full effect this year because he hasn't thrown it, but I think the slider, using it more and more effectively, could pay off. It has a 341 batting average against, but that's not who he is. The slider made Brayon Bello successful in September of last year when I really believe, really saw and thought he could break out this year was from him using that slider.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I'd really like to see the four-seam usage decrease, even the sinker usage. I mean, one of those pitches needs to step back. Using your fastball 55, 58% of the time, like, it's a little more than I like to see, but it is more common in today's game, I guess. But the changeup, the slider, so good. Maybe even use the cutter more. I like his cutter as well.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a five-pitch mix here. I don't know. I just believe that the strikeouts could really tick up. He has 70 and 80 innings. And despite that, he's still pitching as well as he is, even pitching to contact. So I've seen an improvement in command this year, and I really believe that strikeouts could tick up with Breon Bello. And if they do, then he's really going to take off. I already think he's taking off, and I'm fully buying what I've seen from him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's a guy that I think we've talked about before on this podcast, and we've probably both written about at our respective platforms various times this season. Yeah, he looks like he's another, like, just like I was mentioning with Cassis, looks like he's really settling in. You know, obviously working with Pedro in the offseason absolutely helped. And yeah, the stuff is really good. Very excited, just as a Red Sox fan in general, about Breon Bello and the future that he has as, you know, maybe like a number two type of starter. I think the upside's that high. I will stick with another young arm, but not from the Red Sox. We're done with the Red Sox. Let's go out west to Seattle. I'm going with Brian Wu. You know, I was looking at certain, you know, certain leaderboards during the All-Star break because, you know, why not? And I was looking at the K-minus walk rate leaders for all rookies this year. And Brian Wu led by a good couple percentage points. And obviously we've had a very exciting crop of pitching prospects come up already this year. So many great names that have debuted over the first half of this season. And he is comfortably in that one spot with a 24.1% K-minus BB mark, which I think was like the seventh or eighth best mark for anybody with 30 plus innings this year, for starters, at least I should say, which is very impressive as for a 23-year-old rookie. And, you know, he's even been even better than his surface stats would indicate. You know, 3.63 ERA, but the xERA is 2.77. which is in the top 7% of the league. Only has a 1.07 whiff, and it keeps getting better and better. It gets ground balls, you know, at a solid clip there, which, you know, right on league average, but he misses bats at a better than league average clip, 28.3% whiff rate, 32.5% chase rate, doesn't allow a lot of contact within the zone, 75.4%, which is about 6.5% below the league average, which is right around 82%. And this is not a guy that has like any huge whiff rate offerings. Like, this is not like a 50% whiff rate on any pitch or anything like that. But misses bats consistently up in the zone with his four seamer, which is around 95 miles an hour, 31.8% whiff rate there. You know, throws the sinker down, and that gets about 20% whiff rate, which is pretty solid for a sinker. Both of those have a BAA in the low 200s. Works the slider in about 13.5% of the time. That has a 33.3% whiff rate. Cutter, 30.8% whiff rate, only a 6% usage rate, though, and then a 4% usage rate on the changeup. So just a very diverse arsenal. He mixes his pitches well. I said the fastball, sinker, slider really is bread and butter. That's about 90-ish percent of his arsenal, and it's working for him right now. And this is a guy that has good command and control of all his pitches. He had a pretty solid walk rate in the minor leagues, only 6.4% walk rate right now with a 30.5% K rate. You know, limits hard contact well, limits contact well. I think he's a guy that just continues to be underrated even now. So I said, this is not a buy low. This is a, you know, buy high or buy because the perceived value hasn't caught up yet. That's probably actually the best way to kind of describe Brian Wu right now, because I think he didn't have the huge prospect pedigree. Didn't have the huge name. Didn't have the buzzy name like a Bobby Miller or Yuri Perez or guys like that. Gavin Williams, even, that he kind of still flies under the radar a little bit. So I think now is a great opportunity to buy, because he keeps doing this. You're not going to be able to buy him at a reasonable cost for very much longer. So, yeah, Wu is one of my favorite young pitching targets right now in Dynasty Leagues. And we'll keep it in the AL West with Christian Javier for Chris.
Yeah. So Wu is awesome, by the way. Talked about in the same realm as a Bryce Miller's teammate or Mason Miller, but his fastball is really, really good. And I believe a lot in Brian Wu's profile. And I still believe in Christian Javier too. There's been a lot of question about, you know, is Christian Javier just done? Like, is he just no longer this pitcher? It's been a rough stretch of some pretty bad starts here for Javier. Honestly, I'm kind of attributing it to some fatigue. I do think he'll bounce back. I am ultimately not worried about Christian Javier at all. And I think he's kind of like the ultimate buy low. You look at his last two starts in which he allowed 8 earned and 4 and a third, and then 6 earned and 4. And even the start before that was 4 earned over 2 and a third. And in honesty, like, those weren't easy matchups. Went to Texas, faced the Mets and the Cardinals, who are not bad. Like, everybody kind of craps on the Cardinals, but there's still some decent bats in that lineup. But other than that, if you take out really those outings, Javier was pitching pretty well up until that point. And this isn't to say, like, you look at those outings and say, okay, like, this is who he's going to be. I don't really believe that, because he had a sub-3 ERA over 80 and two-thirds innings, over 14 starts leading up to these last three starts. Like I said, I think there's a bit of a fatigue issue. I think that he is going to bounce back, and I think it's a really good buy on him right now, because you kind of look at the entire profile, and even though the fastball has taken a tick back in velo, like, it still profiles pretty well. Like, despite the velocity drop, like, it's still a high-end pitch, in my opinion, because it's high spin efficiency. It's 18 and a half inches of induced vertical break. It's just everything that you kind of want to see, and it's from a low vertical approach angle as well. This is a really good pitch. I believe in his slider as well. The knuckle curve, like, he's mostly four-seam slider, but the knuckle curve's a solid pitch as well. I just truly believe that we're going to see a bounce back from Christian Javier, and if you got out on him, I think you'll probably regret it, because I do see this whole arsenal kind of coming back together and being a really solid pitch. So I'm buying Christian Javier, and if you can, which I think you can, because people have kind of, like, just crapped on him. And from what I've seen, like, especially I've gotten a lot of questions, like, should I sell Javier for this? And it's like somebody outside, like, the top 150. And I'm like, ooh, like, no way. So,
nope. Heck,
yeah, I'm all in still on Javier. So if you can get him, then do it.
100% agree. I'm still very much a Javier guy as well. I have him in a couple of leagues, and I've been holding. You know, I still very much believe that he's going to be, you know, maybe not a fantasy ace, but a pretty solid number two for fantasy purposes. All right, let's head out to the National League Center for a couple of bats here. I'm going with Will Benson from the Cincinnati Reds, just one of the endless amount of exciting young players on that Cincinnati Reds team, obviously with Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Andrew Abbott, soon to be Christian Encarnacion Strand. Very exciting team, and Benson has, over the last, you know, month and a half or so, he's actually been the best one of the bunch. He's been better than McClain. He's been better than Ellie. If you look back, date back to May 30th, there are two hitters in baseball with a minimum of 50 plate appearances to be hitting above 350 with an OBP above 450 and a slug above 600. It's Will Benson and some guy named Shohei Ohtani. That's it. Those are the only two that meet all three of those thresholds in the triple slash line. And he's just been absolutely phenomenal. Tad on to that. So his last run is 356, 458, 622 over that span with a 457 WOBA, 184 WRC plus, 15.9% walk rate, 17.8% strikeout rate. So almost as many walks as strikeouts, a 267 ISO. Yeah, he is running a 418 BABIP. So obviously you can't expect that to, you know, at this level to continue. But at the same time, with how fast he is and the quality of contact, obviously this is a big, strong, quick athlete. And he's got to run higher BABIPs than most. So same with, like, Ellie's BABIP right now is over 400 as well. And you know, quality of contact metrics are really good as well. 91.5 mile an hour EV over this time frame. You know, got a nice launch angle around 17 degrees, 11.3% barrel rate, hard hit rate around 40%. And that can even go up. Like, he absolutely cranks the ball, and he's showing you know, great approach as well. Everything you could want, like, from a, you know, a buy in Dynasty right now. And obviously he's getting a lot of hype right now, but I think it's still a good time to buy. I think there's a lot of legitimacy in what he's doing. Is he gonna be this good moving forward? You know, probably not. But could Will Benson be a top 100 or even maybe a top 50 fantasy player? Sure, I think that potential is there. We'll see how if he can continue this. You know, obviously he was pretty bad to start the season. So if he can be closer to this Benson than the early season Will Benson, I think you're gonna be pretty happy with your investment in Dynasty League. So this is a guy that I'm buying high because I think the price tag is gonna continue to go up. And I could say the same thing about this next guy Chris is gonna talk about.
Yeah, Benson's a great pick for me. My next pick is Jordan Walker, though, with the Cardinals, who I just really believe is gonna be special still. It was odd to me that he got demoted because he was performing fine, but he got sent down. He didn't want to be in AAA. The numbers kind of showed that. But since he's come back, he came back on June the 2nd, and that's 124 plate appearance sample that he's seen since returning. He has 6 home runs. He has a stolen base. He's striking out less than 20% of the time, walking at a near 9% clip, and has a 288, 363, 495 slash. It's a 137 WRC plus. We know that Jordan Walker absolutely smokes the ball. We're looking at a 94 mile an hour average exit velocity over that span and 87 batted balls this month, a 53% hard hit rate. Like, everything to me just looks like this is what we thought we would see eventually. He's not chasing all that often. He's hyper aggressive in the zone and making zone contact at an 87% clip. Like, this is Jordan Walker, and he's just going to be a masher. And I truly believe that he could turn into a star still. You know, everybody loved him coming into the year and then kind of soured on him a bit when he, quote, struggled. Then he went to AAA. He did struggle. Like, that was definitely struggling per se. But I still firmly buy Jordan Walker, believe that he is a very special talent. You know, it's interesting to kind of look at the stolen bases. He's been caught more than he has been successful. That's obviously a bit concerning, but Walker does move well for his size. And I think you heard by the StatCast metric, there's easy plus or better power. And I think Walker has a good field hit as well. We're kind of seeing that. He just needs to lift the ball a little bit more. If he lifts it just a tad more, I think we're really going to see him take off because he hits the ball so hard. And he's hitting too much on the ground right now, but that's kind of the MO, but also like his 55.7% ground ball rate is a kind of major outlier at this point of his career. So I think that will drop back down and he'll be fine.
Yeah. I still think there's a potential like near Aaron Judge type future. Maybe not like, you know, Judge we've seen the last couple of years, but you know, just that 40 plus home run middle of the order thumper. I still think that possibility is there. I still think he could be a guy that's a first round fantasy talent. I still have him, I think, around like 25 to, I mean, it's, let me look, give you an exact number here in my dynasty rankings right now. I have him at 25. Like, I still have him in the same tier as like Michael Harris, Pete Alonso, Randy Arozarena, you know, Trout, Freeman. Like, I'm still very much in on Jordan Walker. So yeah, 100% agree. Now, this is a guy whose price tag is, you know, probably only going to go up from here. So absolutely agree there. I will I'll go to the AL Central and go with Vinny Pasquantino. Obviously, everyone knows both of us have been pretty big Vinny Pasquantino guys over the years. And obviously, he's out with shoulder surgery. We'll see him at some point, you know, May, June or so next year. And, you know, you never know, like, these shoulder injuries or surgeries, I should say, with these hitters, especially major ones like this, it could affect the power. So, yeah, is that a concern? Absolutely. But I think, from what I've seen, like, his perceived value has dropped a good amount, like much farther than it should. You know, like I put my midseason positional dynasty tweets out, and you know, I forget where exactly he fell in my first base ranks, but still obviously very high. And I got a lot of comments like, oh, why is he still that high? So it feels like his value has dropped a good amount, again, further than it should. This is still a guy with one of the best, you know, just plate discipline metrics in all of baseball. 11.9% strikeout rate this year. It was 11.4% last year. Zone contact rate has been above 90% each of the first 2 years. Whiff rate below 18% each year. You know, obviously elite contact skills. And, you know, the power has been pretty solid. A hard hit rate above 40% each year. You only had 9 home runs and 260 plate appearances this year. But I think this is a guy that's going to be, you know, an annual 280 or better hitter with 25-plus home runs and solid amount of RBIs and runs scored as well. Hopefully that lineup gets a little better around him. Basically him, Bobby Witt, maybe Melendez bounces back. We'll see. But I still think he's going to be a pretty good four-category guy and, you know, a guy that can kind of – you can pencil in as like a top 50-ish fantasy player moving forward. So just given the fact that the perceived value has dropped a good amount for Pasquantino, he's a pretty good buy for me right now. Back over to Chris with another Royal.
Yeah, it's interesting to have multiple Royals, but we do. And
I must put this guy too. He was in the short list of guys I was going to put on here for one of my last spots. So I like this pick a lot too.
He's massively underrated. And that's Michael Garcia, the Royals young 23-year-old. The numbers are good, but I don't think people realize how really good he has been. You know, he has just 3 home runs, over 235 plate appearances, but he has 14 bags, 14 stolen bases, and he's slashing 284, 342, 389. He does not strike out often. He hits the ball extremely hard, actually. His average exit velocity is 84th percentile right now and at 91.7. He's running a 50% hard hit rate, which is 87th percentile among all hitters. He does not swing and miss or chase very often, like elite chase rate, really solid contact skills, good sprint speed. This is a well-rounded player that hasn't really got the buzz. I mean, we're talking 84% zone contact. He's chasing 18% of the time, has an overall contact rate of 81%. Like, those are just awesome numbers to pair with the kind of, you know, exit velocity metrics he's putting up. He's honestly just getting hurt by the home games in Kansas City, because you look at the home runs by park, and Kansas City's down at the bottom, actually. Like, in Cincinnati, he would have 7 right now versus 3. Milwaukee, 6 versus his 3. Baltimore, 5. Anaheim or Los Angeles Angels, 8. Like, there's some big numbers in here that he's hadn't got to. Ultimately, he does need to hit the ball in the air a little more. He's 50% ground ball rate. So a lot of those good hard hit balls are hit into the ground. But I will say, I really do believe in Michael Garcia as a player. And I just don't think people have called up at all with him. And ultimately, like, I put him like inside my top 200 for Dynasty. And I think he could even push up from there. Like,
yeah,
this could be a top 125 player. I'm really convinced of that. And I just don't think anybody acknowledges him as such. So Michael Garcia is an easy buy right now. So good. Like, he's a throw in deals because people just don't value him as such. So if you can just get him as an extra piece of a deal, absolutely should. He is an excellent buy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it helps that he's on Kansas City, who as a whole has been terrible this year, one of the worst teams in baseball. But oftentimes you'll find a lot of good values on these kind of, whether a small market team or just a bad team, you know, maybe not Oakland, but, you know, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, teams like this. Because, yeah, Michael Garcia has been very good. And if that power ticks up, I absolutely agree that he could continue, you know, rising up rankings. Like, this would be a guy that would be talked about a lot more if he was on the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, you know, the Braves, the Rays, teams like this. He'd be talked about a lot more than he is right now. But Kansas City is on pace for over 100 losses, and nobody seems to really care outside of Bobby Witt Jr. So, yeah, he's a good buy right now for sure. I'm going to wrap it up with another AL Central player here, but go over to the pitching side of things. And I'm going with Tarik Skubal to close out the show. And a guy that, you know, obviously missed a lot of time, just came back after missing right around a full calendar year or so. And he's looked really good. It's only been 2 starts and 8 innings, but it's hard not to be incredibly impressed with how he's looked in these eight innings. And he obviously don't want to go overboard with such a small sample size, but the velocity is up significantly, and it was during rehab as well. 2022 four seam was at 94.1, sinker was at 94.8. Those are now up 1.9 miles per hour each, up to 96 and 96.7 respectively. He's also, and I don't know, maybe it was just a game plan on these two starts. We'll see how these usage rates kind of settle moving forward. But so far, he's throwing a lot more four-seamers this year, but up about 15% from last year. It was about 26.5% last year, 41.7 now. You know, the sliders got usage rates gone down a little bit. Sinkers have gone down about 10%. That's kind of like where that usage rate went to. And four-seamer has been really good so far this year. Changeup is still nasty as it was last year. 47.5% whiff rate last year. It's even 50% so far this year. So there's a lot of good things here. And that increased velo is really, really exciting right now. He's getting ground balls at a high clip right now, 64.3%. Again, it's all very, very small sample size. Only talking about eight innings again. Got to remember that. But with how much time he missed, the value dropped. I think people forgot how talented that Tarik Skubal is. Like, he's the one success story from this, the big three-headed monster that they once had in the minor league. So, yeah, I'm definitely buying right now just to see if, this new Robbie Ray is what we're going to see moving forward and if the velo gains stick. And I'm very intrigued. So I'd go look to see what I can, give up for Skubal, because I think the price is only going to go up from here in Dynasty Leagues for sure. All right, I think that's going to wrap us up, though. A lot of fun names to target right now. It's always a good time to kind of reassess where you're at, whether you're a contending team looking to add that, final piece to push for the money or the title, or your team kind of falling out of contention, looking to gear it for next year. It's always a fun time to see. And, maybe you want to acquire some prospects. We'll talk about those guys next episode on Monday, some prospects to target in Dynasty Leagues right now and during the second half. So that'll be kind of part two of this, but that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from each of us, including all of our rankings. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.